Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Puma. We are so glad that you joined us again today.
Welcome back.
We are so into summer.
Ugh,
and
yeah.
And ready for fall.
August is, you know, we kind of just started August, but looking forward to September and October because those months just, well, they're literally cooler, but the bugs die, and I love that.
Ooh, I'm a big fan of bugs die. I'm not a fan of bugs.
No. And nothing correlated at all to our series, but we are in our series, The Names of God. And the last time we talked about God being Jehovah Rohi, which is Puma.
Yeah, the Lord is our shepherd.
Yeah.
Yep, he's our shepherd. So, you know, we're kind of going through the different names of God in the Bible. And part of the reason for that, our kind of theme verse for the series is Psalm 9:10, mm-hmm. which says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
Yeah.
And we understand that life is about relationships, and God wants us to know who he is. He knows us. He wants us to know who he is. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that we get to know God is through different names or titles that the Bible records that this is who God is.
Yeah.
And we've used illustration, you know, I'm Puma, which, you know, is just whatever it is. I'm also have like a father is a title that I have, which says something about me. I'm also a son, a neighbor. And so we use some of these different words. And when those are applied to me, that helps people understand a little bit more of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the Bible, God has different names or titles, and not one specific name defines God. But when you put them all together, it creates this kind of composite picture of the heart and character and nature of our God.
Right.
And so Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
Yeah.
You don't trust someone that you don't know.
Right.
In fact, we've talked about, you know, the opinion that you trust most is what
Tori? Yeah, the opinion that matters most is the one you choose to trust.
Yeah.
And so part of our hope, even with the series, is that as we kind of highlight, again, not what we say, but what God's word says about himself, that would help you put your trust in him, that your trust in the God of the Bible would encourage you to follow and obey and seek him, because, again, he will never abandon or use or misuse those who trust in his name.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, he wants us to know him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to follow him.
Yeah. And that kind of leads actually into today's name of God. But before we get into that, I want to highlight a story that I was just so blown away by last week. So last week at our church, we had VBS, and because there's no current children's director, I'm kind of in charge of the children's, which is fine. Normally, I'm the associate over youth. But this year, I've been kind of taking the children's pastor role, which is totally okay. And one of the cool things that I got to do is I got to meet with and encourage and talk to all the volunteers, a small army of volunteers that help with the kids. And there was one lady, we'll just call her Jill. You know, she's in her, you know, 60s, and I was talking to her, and, you know, I found out that she has really bad chronic back pain. In fact, she said over 3 decades ago, something happened to her, and ever since then, her back has just been in excruciating pain that every 6 to 12 months, she has to have a surgery just so she doesn't go paralyzed in her legs. And I was like, that's crazy. I mean, I'm so sorry that you're in so much back pain. And
yeah, that would really be hard to live with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
And it's severe. She said if she walks too much, bends over, or even sits down for more than an hour, she gets shooting pain, which is just, it's hard to walk. I mean, she walks with a limp and stuff. And I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry, Jill. But then the question was, why are you helping out with VBS? I mean, you're with little kids, you know, 5 days a week for, you know, 3 hours. I'm like, that's amazing, and I appreciate your help. But with your severe back pain, I mean, why? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, most people would give up for 3 decades. I mean, yeah. I complain when I have a paper cut, and I let the whole world know about it, right? It only lasts for, you know, a couple of days, but... Yeah, to go 3 decades like that, that would really be disheartening, disillusioning.
Well, it was interesting, too, because as we talked about that, she said, you know, the pain is absolutely awful. She goes, but after the 10th year, the doctors are hopeful they could find some type of new technology to maybe, you know, fix or block out the nerves. And for 10 years of surgeries, the doctor said, hey, I'm sorry, Jill, but I don't think we can ever fix this. This might be a chronic thing. And she said the hopelessness she felt in that moment, well, you can suffer for a while, but if there's hope, you can kind of persevere. I mean, when you get sick for a day, like, oh man, that was bad, but it's only 24 hours, I'm good. But then you're sick for a week, oh, that's rough. Okay, a month, that's really, 10 years with the hope to get better. She said that was some of the darkest day maybe she ever had, just realizing my life will always be this awful. And it gets worse. The older you get, the pain gets worse. And so today we're going to talk about not necessarily pain, but the process of healing.
Yes. And so, you know, with that, let's head into our next name of God.
Let's do it. All right, Puma. So, yeah, what is a, do you have a story for us as we introduce this particular name of God?
Yeah. So as we're looking at the names of God, so often the names or titles of God are born out of situations where mm-hmm. God is interacting with his people and something happens and either he says, this is who I am, or they, through the circumstance, they say, wow, you are, you know, like this. And and it's recorded for us, you know, these are the names of God. So most of us, hopefully listening, are familiar with some of the Old Testament narratives where, I remember like the Prince of Egypt, right? That we get that whole story, yeah. Right? Moses and Israel's, you know, Israelites are down in Egypt and Pharaoh is abusing them. And over the course of about a year, you have these 10 plagues and God miraculously rescues his people. And so they leave Egypt. The Pharaoh says, fine, go. And then, you know, Moses leads them out. And then as soon as they leave, Pharaoh's like, oh, I can't believe I let them go. And so what does he do? He and his army start chasing them down. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us that, you know, God led them to the edge of the Red Sea. In fact, he led them to a place that really was sort of a situation where they could be easily captured.
Yeah, there's no escape.
There's no escape. They were kind of boxed in. And so Israel is like, oh, God, you bring us out here. Oh, take care of us. Help us, help us. And so God does, again, what God does, mm-hmm. and he parts the Red Sea. Israel walks across on dry ground. They get to the other side when all of Israel is across the on dry ground, the waters come back and it says that Pharaoh and his whole army drown. Mm-hmm. And so you get the end of chapter 14 of Exodus, and it says that Israel saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians washing up on shore. And so then you have chapter 15 of Exodus, which is this great song of our God is so great. He's majestic in holiness. He is amazing. Mm-hmm. Our God is amazing.
Incredible.
He is incredible. So you get to the end of chapter 15. So right after that, this is what it says in verse 22. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people rejoiced that our God is great. Right? Is that what it says?
No.
It says the people, 3 days without water in the desert, the people grumbled, saying, what are we to drink? They grumbled against Moses. And in grumbling against Moses, they're grumbling against who?
Against God.
Against
God. The God that just saved them from the Egyptians.
The God that just, I mean, they've spent a whole year watching God do miracle after miracle.
Yeah.
And yet, just 3 days, they're grumbling, and it's like, oh, he brought us out here, we're going to die. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw the wood into water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them, and he said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. And this comes to our name today is the Lord who heals, or Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jehovah Rapha. The God says, this is who I am. I am the Lord who heals. I'm not the Lord who hurts you. I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord that wants to fix all of your hurts and your pains and your diseases. I'm not the one to bring harm, but to bring healing. And so come to me, come to me.
Well, this is such an amazing, I guess, reality check for mankind, that we can have the highest high with God. We can have that mountaintop experience. And then, again, three meals a day. And I'm not saying that going without water for 3 days is easy.
No, I mean, that would, in a desert, you know, yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of people, right?
Right.
There's a lot of people.
Right. But even still, with all that we just saw, how flimsy our faith can be. Even when, you know, we could have literally, like you said, Boomer, like a year of watching God do miracle after miracles, rescuing, redeeming, and then with this huge victory, watching the Egyptians roll up on shore, that your captors are dead, and then you complain. God, you don't see me. We're out there, we're gonna die. And we complain.
You don't care about me.
Right.
You know, you're no good.
Well, and it wasn't, I don't think, just a question like, oh God, where are you? It was anger. Like, they were complaining, the intent of, I'm disgruntled because you, God, have not shown up for me. Where are you? I'm upset. I'm mad at you. It's blaming God. You're complaining. And yet, how God says, hey, I'm still here. I still love you. Listen, follow, obey, trust me. And by the way, guys, I'm the Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, not just heals, you know, the land or the camels or the food. I heal you. I'm concerned about you. That's incredible.
Yeah, and, you know, all of us listening probably have situations in our personal life and everyone that we know, different kinds of hurts and pains. I mean, some of the kinds of hurts, people have physical hurts. I mean, you talked about this woman with the back pain. We have physical pain, for sure.
Right.
But there's also emotional pain, right? I mean, a lot of people have emotional hurts. We call them trauma, self-image problems,
right.
Anxiety, stress. And these are real things. I mean, these are things that people experience. There's also relational pain. I mean, how many people, I love some of those proverbs, you know, better to be on the corner of your house than with a cranky wife, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, what's that talking about? It's like the relational totem pole. Singleness is not the lowest rung. You know, bad relationship is the lowest rung. That's why people want to get out of bad relationships. That's what we call that word divorce, to separate. And all the pain that comes with that. I mean, that's just very real.
Mm-hmm.
Very real pain. And then there is the spiritual component, the spiritual pain of just sin and temptation, habitual sin that has us locked up and all these things. I mean, these are all types of pain that people experience. And God wants us to know that He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who heals. The Bible doesn't say He is the Lord who hurts, the Lord who harms. Mm. He's not the Lord who destroys. He says, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals.
Yeah.
So this word heals, I mean, we can have a lot of different definitions to it, but, you know, the idea behind this word is it is to restore something back to normal or to make it whole. When I was in high school, I broke my arm playing basketball, and you literally could see a dent in my arm where the bones had separated, and went to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, set them in place. Over 6 weeks, my bones fused back together. They healed, basically to restore them, quote unquote, back to normal or to make them whole.
Mm-hmm.
You think about physical pain. You know, we want things to go back to normal, whole. Emotional pain, right? I don't want to feel anxiety anymore. I want to go back to normal. You know, relational pain. You know,
yeah.
I was happy, and then I had this relational hurt, and I was betrayed and all these things. I want to go back to where it was before the pain started.
Yeah.
You know, and spiritual issues. You know, the pain of sin and the consequences of sin and death. We want to things to go back to normal. We want them to be restored.
Yeah.
And so this is who God is, Jehovah Rapha.
You know, one of the things I love about the Bible, because you have the stories, you know, like Exodus, you know, 15, where Israel doesn't do so hot. And then you have some of the other stories where you see people appreciate and acknowledge who God is. One of my favorite verses in the Psalm, the Psalm 103, and David, he says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord," and this is key verse 2, "may I never forget all the good things He does for me." And verse 3, "He forgives all my sins, and He raphas all my diseases." He heals all my diseases. "He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies." you know, part of the heart of God, yes, he can heal and Rapha all your diseases, but he also forgives all your sins. And David here recognizes that his God, Yahweh, his God is the God who heals completely, not just, you know, physical leprosy or broken bones. He can heal my heart. He can forgive all my sins, not just some of them.
Right. And so the pain that we experience in life, and really, you could say it always goes back to, if you want to say it, to sin. Mm. You know, from physical to emotional, relational pains that we have, they're often and really directly consequence of sin in some shape or form. You know, we mm-hmm. live in a fallen world where sin, you know, things aren't the way God wants them to be. You know, and so he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the God who restores. And the greatest thing he wants to restore is to restore us spiritually.
Yeah.
We have in Isaiah 53, where just that famous passage where, you know, God says, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him," you know, this servant to come, "considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions." "He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are Rapha'd." We are healed.
Yeah.
By his wounds we are healed. And the healing here he's talking about is not primarily physical, not primarily emotional, not primarily relational. It is spiritual.
Yes.
It is the root cause. And see, this gets to really the heart. You know, God wants us to know that he is the one who heals. He wants us to know that he is the one to whom you can find mercy. Now, he wants us to run to him. You know, he wants us to run to him when we have a broken heart, when we have hurts. And everybody has a safe place or run somewhere when they're hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are some of the ways that people try to in a sense, Rapha themselves or fix themselves?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, Puma, we all have baggage. We all have things in our past. We all have situations, even currently probably, that mess with us. I've seen, and you've seen this too, probably you listening have heard and seen this too, whether it's alcohol, like, man, I can't deal with my boss, or like, you know what, I can't believe I couldn't get into that school. Substance abuse, we have drugs, we have relationships. You know, I can't be satisfied. My emotional needs, my emotional baggage, my dad left, whatever it might be, there's so much hurt that we run to relationships. If I can just get with this person, if I can just have this. Oftentimes we also, you know, cover up some past hurts with material things. Maybe it's food, maybe it's video games, maybe it's, I just have more stuff, then the hurt in my heart will be healed. And yet, it can't be healed, right? I mean, these things like drinking and substances and relationships, those can only mask. And I love how you brought up Isaiah 53 because, yes, God is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. But why can he heal? Because he literally died and hurt. His body literally broke so we could be healed. He conquered sin and death,
right,
which is why he can. He is a healer.
Yeah, this is what Peter says, you know, about that, you know, this Isaiah 53 person that Isaiah is writing about. We know that he's writing about Jesus because Peter says about Jesus that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And then Peter says this, "By his wounds we have been healed."
Yeah.
You know, quoting Isaiah there. So that Jesus, you know, who Jesus is, the Son of God, the one who lived and died and rose again, taking the penalty in place for you and I, so that we can be healed. So this name of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah Rapha, you see this picture in Jesus who provides the means for us to be healed spiritually. And when we go to Jesus to fix our spiritual problem, everything else is directly connected and related to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to talk about like Jill? I mean, how that story ended.
Yeah, I know. I kind of left it on a cliffhanger. Yeah. And this is what's so cool about the people of God who have been saved by this Jesus. You know, so as she was explaining the hopelessness, and honestly, guys, we might even be there. I mean, for sure, we know someone who feels hopeless, whether it's depression, mental health, maybe it's just a realization that I will never get. Fill in the blank. That dream won't come true. My grandkid, you know, will never have this experience. Or maybe I will never be able to go here, visit here. That feeling of hopelessness, But then when you add pain on that, she said, when the doctor told me the surgery that we thought would happen, it's been a decade, Jill, unfortunately, you will have to live with this. And your back pain, you know, when your the sciatic nerve goes off, it will only get worse with time. She said, that's when I had to realize in that moment, I have a choice to make. And she said, I could either let, you know, the fact that God has not healed me. I mean, she was praying for 10 years. Her family, I mean, people were praying for Jill. And God allegedly said no. And she said, I had to realize I can either let God's word define me, that I am his child even with my pain, or I can let my circumstances dictate who I believe God to be. And it's so cool. She said, my greatest need wasn't for my spine to heal. My greatest need was Jesus Christ saving my life, and he did that. And she said, so I, at 40 years old, I told myself, I'm not going to blame God for my pain. I'm going to lean into that and let God use me despite me. And so she goes, that's why I'm here at VBS. You know, she's like, I'm almost 70 years old, and I'm going to let God, even though it hurts, and even though, you know, the chronic pain, it doesn't go away. It doesn't feel better. It actually feels worse. She said, I know that God has already healed me, and I'm not going to let my pain be an excuse not to serve the God who saved me.
Hmm. Yeah, that just kind of leans right into Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name will trust in you, right? You know that God is Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah.
Can we trust him to be the God who heals, not the God who harms? It's very easy in life when pain comes, and it comes to everybody in all different forms, yeah, whether physical, emotional. The question is not, you know, do I have pain or not have pain? The question is, what do I do with that? Where do I go with that? Do I trust God to be the one who can heal and heal my deepest need, which is my sinful heart? Can we really trust God to go there? And from there, then we trust him with everything else.
Yeah.
Or do we go somewhere else? Mm. You know, because everybody goes somewhere to fix the hurts that they have.
Yeah.
Everyone listens to or follows or is leaning into someone or something in order to get rid of the pain. Because honestly, we don't want pain.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Holmes would always say, Tori, as a Christian, you could either pursue God's kingdom or your comfort. You can't always have both. And yeah, that's so true, Puma. Like when we hurt, and we do hurt, where do we go? And that's really the AQ, isn't it? The AQ, the application question. When you're suffering, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual even, you know, maybe it's relational, where do you go? And if you go to, I don't know, video games, or you go to food, or you go to fill in the blank.
Or you go chasing after relationship,
yeah, right,
hoping that this person will love you the way you desire to be loved, and to meet whatever needs you feel like they need to meet, or what's lacking in your life. We go places to fix the hurt, but we never fix the hurt, right? The hurt never really gets fixed. It just gets masked.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because we try to cover up the hurt, right? So I have a physical pain, and I go take some medicine in order to make the pain go away, but it doesn't fix the problem.
Right.
I mean, this is what we do. I'm having relational problems, and so, you know, why is there a bar in every corner, in every town?
Yeah.
Right? And on, you know, Saturday night, you got the guy who's having, you know, relational issues, and he's there, you know, at the bar. Is he fixing the issues there at the bar?
No.
What's he doing? He's masking the pain.
Right.
Right? He's masking the pain. Spiritually, what do people do when they know that they are guilty? Most people don't recognize that their guilt is before a holy God, but they feel the pain of their sin and their guilt. And so where do they go? They go to try to do good works. They go to try to help people or do things to mask that guilt, not deal with the root problem of that guilt, which is I need to be forgiven before a holy God.
Right.
I need Jehovah Rapha to restore me back to the way he created me and right relationship with him.
Yes.
And so, yeah, everywhere we go, we try to mask the pain, but we never deal with the root problem.
And the places we go dictates what we trust. I mean, just like Psalm 9:10, those who know your name will trust in you, for you have never forsaken those who seek you. If we're running to bars, to relationships, that proves what we trust in. And so the question is, the AQ, where do you run? and that will reveal who you trust.
Right. And Jehovah Rapha, when you know his name and you really trust that that is who he is, you will know that the God who heals will never forsake you when you're in pain.
Yeah. What a promise. I mean, I love all the names of God. I love that this name God gave himself.
Right. I mean, he says, this is who I am. This is one of the characteristics of me. Mm-hmm. I'm the God who is merciful, who desires to heal what sin has broken.
Yes.
And Jehovah Rapha, God, he very much what sin is broken, he desires to heal. Mm-hmm. And so we should go to him when we have our broken heart. Our greatest need is our sinful heart to be restored.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good word. Thank you, Puma. And thank you guys, too, for joining us. I love this Name of God series. I'm always encouraged. And how beautiful that we have a God we can run to with full confidence that he will heal it. And not even heal us like our physical. He might heal us physically. But ultimately, again, our greatest need is not physical, emotional. It's spiritual.
Right.
And we have that guarantee.
Yeah. It's interesting. God never promises to heal us physically.
That's true.
Back to normal. He never promises to heal all of our emotional, you know.
Yeah.
He never promises that he's going to heal all of our relational pain because you can't control the people.
Right.
But he does promise that if you come to me, I will heal your greatest need, which is spiritual. Mm. And that colors your physical, emotional, relational pains completely different.
Absolutely.
You see them in light of Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, because he's out to heal, not to harm.
Yeah.
And so let's run to him because he will never forsake those who trust in him.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. And guys, if you have any questions or comments, please, as always, you can reach us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. So, hey guys, thanks again for tuning in and we'll see you next time, Fridays at 10:10.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Till then, bye.
Bye.